You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good!
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. I'm your host, the Godfather Nate Milton. Got a big show for you guys and girls this week coming off of the big game. I don't want to talk about it, but
I don't want to talk about it either.
I'm pretty sure Mr. LA wants to talk about it. So those watching on the Patreon feed who are getting the video version can already see Brother Marcus. But for those of you listening to the classic audio version, allow me to reintroduce to you my co-host, coming to you from the City of Angels. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Marcus. Everybody, black faces back. All right, Vandenberg.
That's your state,
man. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. And now they trying to set up the brother, talking about he got a sexual assault allegation in his past. It's all very, very convenient, shall we say?
Yeah. But, I mean. He's still around as of Tuesday morning. He's still not, has not stopped down. So,
yeah, I got to say, though, the funniest thing about this whole situation, you know, not a lot of humor to be found, but the funniest thing was that one press conference, like the day after, where he was trying to supposedly get everything back on the right track. And for those that don't know, this is current Virginia Governor Ralph Northam. And he was there with his wife, and he was like, I wasn't in the picture with the blackface and the KKK hood, but I did wear some blackface one time, put some shoe polish on my face to be Michael Jackson, and I moonwalked. And then the reporters are like, can you moonwalk for us? And my man.
He was going to try it.
He was about to take the bait, and he looked over, and his wife was like,
don't do it.
my wife says it wouldn't be appropriate. But he was about to be out here shucking and jiving. And you know things are bad when the white man has to shuck and jive to keep his job.
Man. He's a Democrat, right?
Yeah, he's a Democrat. So, I mean, if he's out of there, the lieutenant governor is a Democrat who's an African-American. But then if they get him up on these sexual assault charges, excuse me, which I have a little bit of doubt about. Even if they get rid of him, the next guy in line is a Democrat. So, okay. Like they stack the deck.
All right, Virginia.
But yeah, I think it might be a grand opening, grand closing for Governor Northam.
Has Trump tweeted about him?
I don't think so. Yeah, there's been a lot of Republicans tweeting about, why aren't Democrats mad at this guy, even though, like, almost every...
I think everyone's pretty mad.
Yeah, like, you know, so, I mean, also, this is a teachable moment. If you have an idea for your yearbook, whether that be a college yearbook or a high school yearbook, and somebody's like, maybe this isn't a good idea, maybe you should listen to that person.
This was what, early 1980s, right?
Yeah, 1984.
So I was one. Nate was what? You were what, five, six?
I would have been five.
Five, okay. I mean, different world, obviously. But even in 1984.
I was going to say, it's not like it's the 60s.
No, no. Even in 1984, the editor, at least of the yearbook, has to say, hey, look, guys, this doesn't look right. What are you doing?
Yeah. And it's not even like it's a regular college. Like, it's not like it was Virginia Tech or UVA. It was medical school.
Yeah, so. America.
Yep, stay tuned for that hot State of the Union address tonight, folks.
Oh, man. That is tonight, huh?
Yeah. I won't be watching. I got a basketball game to do. I don't have time for your man's Trump tonight.
I'll be at the bar. So I will not be watching.
You'll be at the bar? Any particular reason or just drinking?
No.
Drown your sorrows about the current state of the country?
No, a happy hour at work.
Okay. Well, speaking of happy hour, Marcus, a lot of people in L.A. had an unhappy 3 hours this past Sunday. How's that for a segue?
Listen, Falcons fan, all right?
Man,
yeah, that game sucked.
Yeah, the game wasn't good. The halftime outside of Big Boy and his fur coat wasn't good. The
commercials were okay.
Tom Brady played pretty poorly by Brady standards. Julian Edelman got the MVP, and your boy Adam Schefter is going out here trying to prop this man up for the Hall of Fame.
I don't understand that one at all.
Like, come on, man. He had a great postseason. He's been a clutch performer for the Patriots during this run. But if you got less career receptions than Dwayne Bowe, you should be anywhere near the Hall of Fame. Like, when the last time somebody talked to Dwayne Bowe?
Julian Edelman is a zero-time Pro Bowler. When the Pro Bowl, like, we can make the Pro Bowl if we wanted to at this rate.
Yeah.
He has 30 career touchdowns.
Mm.
He has a little over 5,000 receiving yards in his career. Where is the Hall of Fame numbers
at? He was suspended 4 games this season for PEDs.
And then there's that. Yeah. I don't see it. I mean, I think he's a fine number two receiver.
Yeah. I mean, he'll be in the Patriots Ring of Honor or whatever they have up there, yeah. But he's not like if you want to make the case for a Patriots receiver other than Randy Moss, who was already a Hall of Fame before he got there, Wes Welker to me would be the guy.
Yes.
Like, you can make a legitimate case for Wes Welker. Whereas to me, Edelman, yeah, he came up clutch in the postseason, but we're not putting people in the Hall of Fame for great postseason moments.
No. Welker, 5-time Pro Bowler.
Yep.
3-time NFL receptions leader. He was a 2-time first-team All-Pro. He had nearly 10,000 receiving yards, 903 receptions, 50 touchdowns.
Yeah. That's a legitimate resume.
Yeah. The Edelman thing, I think Edelman has had seasons where I think, you know, and he hasn't had Wes Welker. Well, Wes Welker, I think people forget how good he was in New England.
Yeah.
During that Brady run. I mean, 122 catches, 118 catches, 123 catches, 112 catches. I mean, he was a machine. Edelman, his best season looks like it was 2013, 105 catches, 1,056 receiving yards, and 6 touchdowns. So.
And he's really only, like he, I'm not trying to disparage the man's career, but the times where he's been the number one guy, it's usually been because somebody else didn't work out.
Josh Gordon.
Josh Gordon, Brandon Cooks. Gronk's been hurt, you know. We ain't going to talk about your boy Hernandez. But, like, there was always an A plan that didn't work, which is why Edelman was able to be a top-notch number two.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if Adam Schefter has walked that tweet back since Sunday, but that was a bad tweet.
Like there was a lot, there was a lot of people acting irresponsibly in the media around this Super Bowl. What was the final score again, Marcus? With
13-3.
Yeah, I was gonna give the Patriots 4 extra points, and we'll get to your Rams here in a second. But you know, you have to obviously give the Patriots credit. You have to obviously give Tom Brady credit. But I think this particular game, if you're gonna give anybody the lion's share of the credit, as much as I hate to do it, I think you got to give it to Belichick.
Yeah. Him and Brian Flores were...
Yeah.
They steamed the hell out of the Rams. They figured out in those 2 weeks how to control them. And, you know, the Todd Gurley issue, we don't know what the deal is there. But
yeah.
even with Gurley towards the end of the regular season and the playoffs, they were still scoring points. They were still moving the ball. But, you know, I'll give credit to Belichick and Brian Flores, who's now the coach of the Dolphins. They managed to slow down that Rams offense.
And he's taking the quarterback coach, the assistant quarterback coach, with him, isn't he?
That I don't know.
I think I read that somewhere that okay. The assistant quarterback coach is heading to Miami with him. Which, I mean, they've got some good coaches on that staff over the years. So, you know, I'm hoping Flores has a decent run in Miami.
Well, they're already talking about tanking in 2019, which doesn't seem. And listen, I mean, to be serious, like this is an issue with black coaches, and this isn't Brian Flores' fault, but black coaches seem to get into teams and franchises that are hamstrung. And mm-hmm. and if the MO coming from the top is, hey, you're going to tank this year, that's going to reflect poorly on Brian Flores. And that's one less season for Brian to impress as a head coach. So, you know, let's say 2020 comes around, they get their quarterback in Tua, whoever it might be. They get off to a slow start. They finish 6-10. Well, then it's like, okay, you've had now two bad seasons in theory.
Yeah,
it's not a great system for black coaches in particular.
Well, it's like with Hugh Jackson, and I'm not out here trying to say Hugh Jackson is Vince Lombardi.
Yeah,
but anyway, I think even if you put Belichick in that situation with the Browns, he would have struggled. Yeah. I'm not saying Belichick would have gone winless that 1 year, but he would have had a problem even getting to 500 with the organization in place in Cleveland. So Hugh Jackson's not great, but he's a lot better than I think his record denotes because that situation was so bad. And that's the situation a lot of black coaches have to take because those mm-hmm. are the jobs that come open.
And, you know, I don't see Hugh Jackson coaching again. Do you?
Not unless, you know, he gets the charity job in Cincinnati.
Yeah, but that's going to be – they just hired a coach, the Rams quarterback coach, Zach Taylor. So that'll be –
because I guess that organization is still cool with him. Like, the only thing I could see is maybe, you know, him getting an interim job as something to prop him up.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if they do well, like let's say the new coach doesn't work out and we give Hugh 4 games at the end of, not next season, but let's say the season after. Hugh gets 4 games and they do okay. Maybe that'll get Hugh another interview somewhere else. But, yeah, like I think it's very tough, which is why, again, going back to people who should know better, being reckless on Sunday night on Twitter, your boy Mark Madden. Not the character of Mark Madden, but the actual Mark Madden. Out here on these streets talking about, he used Belichick's win as a way to bash Tomlin. He's like, see, Tomlin's not even remotely in Bill Belichick's class. I'm like, who is?
Yeah, no one is. I mean, no one in maybe NFL history is at this point.
Yeah, yeah, you can make the argument. Belichick, Walsh, I guess. I think Belichick's over Walsh.
I think so.
So, yeah, I mean, Belichick is, if not the best, he's certainly in the conversation for the, you know, two or three greatest coaches in NFL history. And so it's like if you look at somebody like a Mike Tomlin, who is a really good coach, who has never had a losing season, who has won a Super Bowl, even he is somebody that pales in comparison to a Bill Belichick. And so I think a lot of these coaches – the leash is short. It's short with any coach, but I think particularly when you talk about coaches of color, unless you get like a good situation like Tomlin where the Rooney family is not one to make hasty decisions.
Two Super Bowl champions, by the way. Two titles.
Yep. Yeah. It takes fitting into a situation like that where, you know, you'll have time to grow. And fortunately for Tomlin, it didn't take him long to grow, you know, because he won early. I think his worst season, are, you know, he's had 2 8-8 seasons, I think.
Yeah, that's it.
So it'll be interesting to see how he does going forward. But, yeah, to try to put any coach on that level of Belichick is just silly because there's not anybody now and probably not anybody in the history of the game that is on the level of the hoodie.
Yeah. Oh, wait, the first title was he wasn't with the Steelers. That was him still in Tampa.
Okay, yeah.
So one in Pittsburgh, one early. I mean – I guess to be fair, it was 2008, so it's been a while. But they have consistently, you know, 10, 11, 12 wins. And
yeah, I think they were in the AFC Championship game a couple years ago.
2016, the Patriots, yeah.
Yeah. So, and again, they lost to the Patriots. So, yeah. I mean, everybody loses to the Patriots.
Yeah,
because that was
except the Giants.
Yeah, except for the Giants or the Eagles. Like, the NFC East, they can't beat. So let's go to the NFC, man. Marcus Vandenberg.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to your mans? McVay, he was supposed to be the offensive genius. He was changing the game. What happened?
The game done changed, Nate. I thought you heard.
What happened to your man, Jared Goff? Like, three points, fam?
Yeah. I mean, they got beat.
It was one of those things. I know, like, I'm not a Rams fan, but I was rooting for the Rams. I know as a Rams fan, it had to be frustrating because they finally started playing in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They finally started moving the ball, and then he ended it off with an interception.
Yeah. That was a bad pass. I mean, that was a bad pass, too.
Yeah.
It was one thing to throw an interception, but you could tell on that play that the play was breaking down, and he sort of heaved it up there, and he paid for it. So, yeah,
realistically, I mean, the Patriots still might have won, but all they needed to do was score one touchdown in the first half, and they might have won the game because the defense did that job.
You take out that last Brady Grant drive.
Yeah.
We're looking at, what, overtime or maybe 6-3 Patriots?
I mean, if you hold the Patriots to 13 points, you should win the game.
Yeah.
Especially when you got an offense that was that high powered during the year. And you mentioned Todd Gurley. I don't know what was up with Gurley because they said he was 100% before the game. But other than like one or two runs, we didn't see much from him.
And then after the game, he said he was healthy. So, I don't know what's up. But
if I was him, I wouldn't even say that. Because the question is, if you healthy, then why did you want to get 25 yards in the game?
Yeah. So, I think for next season, they're still going to be in a pretty good spot. I don't know how many of these defensive guys they signed last year are going to drop off in terms of their contracts, but I think, you know, and not having Cooper Kupp in a game like this, I think that's...
see, you know you're grasping the straws, and you're like, man, if we only had our white receiver, we would have been in.
Listen, you can look at the numbers when Cooper Kupp was on the field for Jared Goff compared to when he was gone. That's when you started seeing Jared Goff getting exposed as a questionable quarterback. And
that is a good point.
Cooper Kupp was our Julian Edelman. He was our our safety blanket, our binky. And not having that guy that – I mean, the Rams don't really use a tight end in a traditional passing sense. So the tight end isn't the safety net for Jared Goff. It was Cooper Kupp. So, if Cooper Kupp comes back healthy, in addition to Cooks and Woods, I think Robert Woods really took a step up this season as a number two receiver. Assuming Todd Gurley is healthy and or can get healthy by the fall, I think they're in good shape.
Yeah, it was just like the like the offense is a power, like the electricity in your house. And it felt like the last few weeks of the playoffs, your boy McVay kept getting notices. Like, hey, dog, I'm going to need you to pay this bill. And we're cutting your power off. And then, you know, when you get the white letters in the mail, you know, you can kind of ignore them.
Yeah.
But when you get that pink letter, like, if you don't pay by Friday, we're cutting off your power. He didn't listen. And it felt like that because they couldn't get anything done. Like Gurley wasn't going. I expected more from Woods. Like, I thought Woods was going to extend the field. Cooks had maybe one or two good grabs, but, like, they couldn't get anything done. And the defense played so hard, which is what makes it so bad.
And the defense was the liability, I think, in most people's eyes coming into the game.
Yep. But Sue and Donald and even more than that, the defensive backfield, I thought, stepped up. Because Brady didn't look terrible, but he didn't look like Brady.
Yeah.
So, yeah. One more thing in regards to this. Tom Brady, Marcus Vandenberg. I'm gonna need people of your ilk, people like Skip Bayless, people like the esteemed Jason Whitlock, people like Colin Cowherd to be more specific when they heap praise on Tom Brady. Because all last week, Marcus Vandenberg, I heard people like that talk about this man as the greatest athlete of his generation. Maybe the greatest athlete of all time. A better athlete than Michael Jordan or Muhammad Ali or Carl Lewis. And I'm like, okay, Brady's a great quarterback. Maybe the greatest quarterback of all time. But come on, the greatest athlete, like we didn't have Bo Jackson or Deion Sanders in the NFL. Like, come on, Marcus, what's wrong with these people?
I think they're interpreting greatest athlete to be something else than what the rest of the world might interpret it as. I don't think they mean greatest physical specimen or, you know, freakish talent. I think they mean what they mean is like greatest winner.
Most
accomplished. And even then, I can't really compare him to Jordan. I understand,
I mean, if you want to talk about winners, like Bill Russell won, what, 11 championships?
Well, that's a whole different generation. I mean, that's...
I mean, if you say all time, Marcus, that's all time.
Yeah, but it feels like Bill Russell does not get the...
Bill Russell
doesn't get...
No.
And maybe just Cestus basketball was so different back in the 60s compared to now. But
you mean because the games lacked a lot of color? I mean, on TV. You know, when you look at the black and white
color
TV.
Yes. But just because he's 41 and won a title doesn't mean he's greater than Jordan, because Jordan decided to walk away.
Right.
Walked away, came back, and then sort of lingered in Washington.
Yeah, so like I said, man, I'm not disrespecting Tom Brady, at least not here. I might, whenever I get around to my petty rant on Tom Brady, I might get into some disrespectful territory because I have several bones to pick with not even so much Tom Brady, Mark. It's just the way people react to Tom Brady.
Well, there's many layers. And
yes,
I mean, there's the Boston layer. There's the political layer, which I think is probably the most controversial.
By the way, Bob Kraft, you are not invited to the cookout.
Man,
I don't care who you donate to.
I didn't see Meek Mill out there.
The only Kraft allowed at the cookout comes in a blue box.
Kraft cheese. So, yeah, the Brady thing, I respect him. I do respect him. And I do think he's probably the greatest quarterback in NFL history.
Yeah, I mean, it's either him or Montana. Like, nobody else to me is in the discussion.
And I don't have an issue saying that. So, but there's some layers there.
Yeah, there are. And then I think you have to have a certain perspective, shall we say, to kind of pick up on some of the subtle ways the media might treat him differently than other people.
And maybe the refs. There is one Jared Goff play where if that were Brady, that would have been a flag.
I can hear Mike Mills now and Saints Nation, Who Dat Nation, telling you to shut up about the refs.
Well, we won't talk about the Saints because you talk about some petty motherfuckers, all right? Let it go.
They've been mad for like 2 whole weeks.
Well, they're about to lose AD, so they can be mad about that.
Yep. So, last thing on the Super Bowl, Marcus, in terms of halftime or commercials or the discussion around people protesting or boycotting the Super Bowl, you know, we did see the ratings come out. And they were down from last year. Well, what's your overall opinion on what we saw or didn't see for some people on Sunday night?
Since you mentioned the ratings, yeah, they were down. I know New Orleans was down. Good for you. You guys are such a small TV market that whatever. Your extra 1,000, 100,000 people that didn't watch isn't going to make a huge dent on the number. So I think the reason why... And part of the number was down is because there is some fatigue with the Patriots and maybe with Boston. I mean, we saw with the World Series. The Red Sox, Dodgers, you would think on paper this would be a killer World Series in terms of ratings. And it was not. The ratings were terrible.
Yeah.
And it was a huge disappointment, probably as much as the disappointment as Super Bowl was this year. So I think...
Yeah, and for the people like Boston, L.A., it's such a rivalry. No, it's Lakers-Celtics. That's the rivalry.
Yes,
like, Red Sox, Dodgers, or Patriots, Rams.
Yeah, now if we got Lakers, Celtics in the NBA Finals, then I would have faith in the ratings doing okay. But you're talking about a city in general that in LA that's probably not going to get the same ratings as a New York or a Chicago, especially with the Rams. The Rams are not the first, second, or probably even third option in LA for sports. So.
And even in Atlanta, like you would think the crowd would be more split, but it was majority Patriots fans.
Majority in Patriots. The stadium, yep.
As opposed to like last year where Philly showed up. Philly showed up for that Super Bowl, whereas your people, Marcus, I think they stayed home.
We stayed home. I mean... it's just a weird dynamic with.
I was like, we can either go to the Super Bowl or we can sit here and see what's happening with Anthony Davis.
Yeah, and I mean, all last week was sort of, you know, overshadowed by NBA rumors.
Mm-hmm.
Which, when you compare NBA and NFL numbers, obviously NFL is king, but when it comes to sort of the social media / internet community, it's all NBA. And sort of just the thought of a trade going down was, you know, I think it really took away from some of the hype of the around the game.
Yeah. So that was Super Bowl, what was it, 53? 53. Shout out to Maroon 5. I know the professor, Christopher. He's a big fan of Maroon 5, so he got his birthday wish. He got to see.
Is he really?
No, he hates them.
Oh, okay.
Which I don't love. No, Maroon 5.
I don't hate them.
I don't hate Maroon 5.
This is the internet. You know, you gotta really just pile on a poor band.
Yeah, like they got a couple good songs. And then they had Big Boy and Sleepy Brown. So Sleepy Brown,
Nickelback, right?
They're better than Nickelback.
Yes, they are.
So Sleepy Brown got a Super Bowl check, so for that I'm happy. that's gonna do it for the A Block. I think we might just keep the cameras rolling or keep the mics rolling. because we're trying to condense this week's episode. So what I'll do is I'll play some Maroon 5 right here and drink some water. This is my shout out to Chris. we're going to get into the ratchetness now because it wasn't just football related this past week, Marcus, and it wasn't just governors walking around with blackface on. There's other ratchetness out here for the people to hear about this week.
I have a story for you, Nate.
All right.
I've been waiting all week to tell you the story. The headline on the story, Nate.
Mm-hmm.
Former wide receiver Jacoby Jones said speed came from his dad being a crackhead.
All right, so there's a couple things there. First of all, welcome back to the legend Jacoby Jones, the one of the greatest fantasy football players in history. He got his speed from his dad, who was a crackhead, which ties into Otis Nixon,
mm-hmm.
one of the very first people we ever talked about on this show. So he says he's got his speed from his dad. Now, is he insinuating that he got the speed because his dad used crack, or just, you know, in the hereditary sense where his dad was fast? So I'm fast.
Here's his quote. Quote, "My dad was a crackhead, so all that shit he was smoking was probably in my genes," Jones told Bleacher Report. "That's why I don't do drugs. People say I run like a crackhead. I wonder why."
So I know, like, there's a bunch of, you know, unfortunately, children that have been born to parents that have smoked crack. And they didn't get superpowers. Like, this feels like an origin story. Like, he mm-hmm. received powers because his father was on that stuff. And that's what made him a good return man.
That's what made him the top fantasy player in your fantasy football league, Nate.
Yeah, he was the top fantasy player for a couple seasons before we figured out what was going on.
He twice ran back, kicks 108 yards for a touchdown.
And real talk, like, that was, and you know, again, this man is kind of like the Tom Brady of the Kings of Sport League, because he finds loopholes and finds ways to take advantage of them. But that's how the franchise came to power, by using the Jacoby Jones exception.
So does that mean the franchise has crackhead powers?
Interesting. I mean, I'm assuming the franchise is a Caucasian brother, so... You know, they don't do crack, Marcus. They do powder. It's different. Different sentences, different powers that come from the drug use. So is his father still around or in the picture?
That's a good question. It does not. Oh, well, it sounds like his father was in his life.
So he just gave him powers and disappeared.
Pretty much.
So he's like Marlon Brando in Superman 1, where he left Christopher Reeve with the powers, and then see him in flashbacks. Yeah.
Yes.
So when's the last time Jacoby Jones was in the league? Was it?
Oh, wait, hold on. While the all-pro receiver may have gotten his speed from his father, Jones said his dad left him when he was just 18 months old. He met him for the first time 4 years ago. When they grabbed dinner and hung out on Bourbon Street in New Orleans, Jones hasn't seen him since. Dog, what kind of... I hope this man's in therapy. What kind of mental head game is this for? You meet your dad once, you hang out on Bourbon Street, and then that's it. And then he bounces again.
To be fair, maybe the best place to take, I'm assuming, a recovering crackhead is not Bourbon Street.
Man.
He's so fast, he ran out of his son's life twice.
This is kind of sad.
Yeah. That, like, I thought Otis Nixon and his son had a messed up relationship.
Yeah. Jones retired in 2015.
Okay. I knew it's been a minute, but not that long ago. Because he was still winning fantasy football championships three or four years ago.
Yes. He had 2,733 yards receiving in his career and 14 touchdowns, but he had nearly 7,700 yards and 9 touchdowns as a return man.
Maybe he's a Hall of Famer, Adam Schefter.
Maybe. He did rating Super Bowl. He had that. So, Hall of Famer Jacoby Jones.
That's my stuff, though. So, his dad left him when he was 18 months old.
Mm-hmm.
Finally runs back into him. I'm assuming this would be like his last season in the league.
When was the Ravens Super Bowl? So that was it was probably his last season in Baltimore.
Okay. And so he meets up with his dad in New Orleans and hadn't seen him since.
Yeah. Don't do drugs, kids. Don't do drugs.
I mean, maybe you want to do drugs so you can
have superpower and be really fast.
You can have superpowers and your kids, your offspring, can have superpowers. I don't think that's how crack works, though, Jacoby Jones. If that was the case, then Bobby Brown would have been an Olympic gold medalist.
Yeah.
Crack gave you speed. Allegedly. Oh, man. So what's Jacoby Jones doing now? Is he an analyst for anybody, or is he?
Jacoby Jones is a wide receivers coach at his alma mater, Lane College, a Division II school in Jackson, Tennessee.
Okay. Let's just make him a head coach. Unless he doesn't want those problems.
Yeah. I mean, good for Jacoby Jones.
Yeah, hopefully he saved his money.
He's from New Orleans. I did not know that.
Okay.
I forgot he was on Dancing with the Stars.
That's right.
Yeah.
What's up with the white Jacoby Jones? Is he still playing baseball?
The white Jacoby Jones is still playing baseball. Jacoby, because he's got the capital C in his name. He is still in Detroit. He's not very good.
I was going to say, I hadn't heard much from him since we talked about him in segment 4 that one time, which was probably like 2 years ago.
Yeah, he's not great. Great name, but not a great player.
All right, Marcus, before we get out of here, I want a prediction from you, because we're recording this, if you're listening at home, we're recording this on a Tuesday. The NBA trade deadline is this Thursday, correct?
Correct.
All right. So do you think the next time we talk, the next time we do a Kings of Sport proper, because I don't know when we're going to hook up with TJ to do his special show. But the next time we do a proper Kings of Sport episode, do you think Anthony Davis will be a Laker, will be a Pelican, or will be somewhere else?
I say he will be a Pelican still.
Okay, and, so no move at the trade deadline for the Pelicans.
No move, and I could see him not playing on the Pelicans. So he would sort of be benched.
So that he gonna be on that Kawhi Leonard program.
Load management, but for the rest of the season.
Do you think he ultimately ends up in L.A., though?
I think eventually. Whether that is this offseason or in 2020, if a team really wants to take that risk and trade for him, by all means.
You get a one-year rental.
And that's, you know, if you're Boston, do you want to take that? I mean, do you want to basically pull a Raptors and take Kawhi and hope you can convince the player to stay? Then sure. But, I mean, when your father has come out and said, hey, man, my son's not going to Boston because look at how they treated IT, then that makes it a tough sell. So I think eventually he will end up in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I would think so as well. And they're going to have – a pretty good free agent class to choose from in 2020.
No, 2019. This offseason.
Okay, yeah.
This offseason is pretty. Yeah, it's pretty stacked.
Kawhi will be free. You'll have AD if he doesn't get traded before then. Is Durant a free agent after this season?
Durant's a free agent. Klay Thompson's a free agent. Mm. Jimmy Butler, I think, can be a restricted free agent. Nikola Vucevic will be a free agent. Boogie will be a free agent. I mean, there's a lot of names out there. It's going to be interesting. The Lakers and the Knicks are both going to have now money to burn. The Knicks more than the Lakers, and then the Hawks will have some money too. So,
shout out to the Mavericks. Like that, I was surprised by that Porzingis move. Like, it's interesting to me because they're going full bore into the culture of. We're the destination for the Euro guys because we've had Dirk, we got Doncic, and now we've got Porzingis.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm let's just say a player of a certain persuasion, that becomes a more attractive destination.
Some bad basketball news.
Uh-oh.
John Wall has a ruptured left Achilles.
Ooh.
He's expected to return to full basketball activity in approximately 12 months from the time of surgery.
Damn.
So, he's out.
Yeah.
Basically all of next season, too.
Pretty much. So, if you're Washington.
And that is a bad contract.
Yeah, and if you're Washington, like, this is like, do we just kind of blow everything up now then? Is everybody up for grabs? Do we get rid of Beal?
Let's see. We're 2018, 2019. So next season is the first year of his extension. Man, poor Wizards. So next year, John Wall will make $37.8 million not to play basketball.
Damn.
2021, when he will come back at the age of 30, he will make $40.8 million.
Mm.
21-22, at the age of 31, John Wall will make $43.8 million. The last year of his deal, if he makes it to 22-23, John Wall will make $46.8 million.
Mm. Keep getting new checks. I didn't realize he was that old. Like, I didn't realize he'd been in the league that long.
Yeah, that is terrible. He originally had the bone spurs in his heel.
Yeah.
The left heel. So now he's at the left heel, or I don't know if it's the same injury or what, but. Yeah. And for a guy who was his game was based on his speed.
Yep. This could be a very similar situation to Derrick Rose.
Yeah. Oh, so Shams said Wall suffered the torn Achilles tendon after slipping and falling in his home.
Damn.
Dog. He's too old to be just falling in his house like that.
Yeah. What were you doing? We need the real story.
Yeah.
Somebody get him some crack. Maybe it'll heal him. Give him his speed back.
Man.
Damn.
That's terrible.
Yeah, if I'm DC, like if I'm the Wizards, man, like it might just be time to blow this whole thing up.
I mean, how do you can't move Otto Porter?
No. Is Dwight Howard still on the roster?
Dwight Howard is still on the roster for 2 years.
Damn. Yeah, to me, like Bill's your only valuable asset.
Bill is your only asset, and even Bill's contract, I think, is pretty pretty big. Beal has 2 years left after this year at $27 and $28 million. Mm. He'll be unrestricted at age 28, so 2021.
Yeah. So do you if you're the Wizards, do you just build around Beal now going forward, or do you just make a clean start?
The funny thing is, they're a better team without John Wall. I mean,
yeah.
They
and
seem
Wall
to be,
and Beal have never really been a good fit for each other. So maybe that's the silver lining in this cloud, is that now it's Beal's team for the foreseeable future, unless you want to deal him.
Yeah, the Wizards are three games out of the last playoff spot, so it's possible, but you know, at some point you want to start thinking about tanking. But if you're the Lakers, do you want to roll the dice on a Klay Thompson in the offseason or trade for Bradley Beal and give up some of your assets and do it that way?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it depends on if what happens with AD, because if they get AD, they're not going to have any other assets.
Yeah, that is true. Beal this season he's having a good year. He's averaging almost 25 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds.
Okay. I think Beal could be a good fit with them.
I think so. I mean, he's a very good player. This is his best year in the NBA so far. He's averaged 20-plus points now 3 seasons in a row. So, and he's been healthy outside of that 1 year. He played all 82 games last year. He played 77 games the year before. He's played, I think, almost every game this season. So, yeah.
Yeah. And he's a good age. Like,
he's 25.
Still young. Yeah, he's still young, but he's had enough experience where I think he could fit in, you know, under LeBron and them.
Yeah, this is season 7 for Bradley Beal, so interesting.
Yeah, might not. I think the Lakers are going to be the team to watch, because I think that there's a lot they can do. And, like, I don't think LeBron needs 3 kind of quote-unquote max guys. I think if you get him 1 max guy and some good role players, they can make some moves.
The other rumor that's been out there has been Jabari Parker for KCP.
Mm.
Which, Jabari Parker in Chicago, not really in the rotation.
Yeah.
Basically younger Carmelo Anthony, where you're not getting any defense out of him. He was pretty open about, I wasn't here just to play defense. When he has played this season, he's still scored. He's been productive. The bad part is Jabari Parker is making $20 million this year.
Mm.
I think he might be an expiring contract. Let me see. He's only 23 as well.
Yeah, and then, I mean, if you figure that...
Oh, he's at 2 years, so he's at 20 both years, so.
Okay. I mean, if you figure the environment might be something that would help him, because I would think that he wouldn't be the type to act a fool around LeBron.
Yeah.
Whereas in Chicago, like, who's your team leader in Chicago right now?
There is none.
So I think a change of scenery might be a good thing for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have a lot to talk about with Marcus's Lakers with the next couple of weeks. See if they make any moves.
Yeah, if they don't make any moves, it's going to be mighty tough for them to, I think, make the playoffs at this rate.
Yeah. We'll see, Marcus. I mean, the good thing is they don't have the pressure of having to compete with a Super Bowl champion in the same market. So,
or a World Series champion.
The World Series champion. So they going to be all right, Marcus. They're going to be all right.
Yeah.
And on that note, that's going to bring this week's edition of the Kings of Sport to a close. Want to send a shout-out to everyone watching on Patreon, on the exclusive video feed. The $5 tier will get you access to the video feed. So you can head over to patreon.com/Kings of Sport and check that out. Brother Marcus, while I think I'm going to look up these names really quick so we can give some shout-outs to our patrons, why don't you let the people know where they can find you on social media and maybe ask you what you think about Julian Edelman's Hall of Fame credentials.
You can find me on social media at Marco Will, MarcoWill. And if you want to see myself against Samoa Joe at WrestleMania, just tweet me and we can get that match to happen. Because Joe doesn't want to smoke.
Some strong words.
And if you follow me on Twitter, you would understand the reference.
Some strong words.
He was a strong man.
While I'm pulling these names up, plug the article that Dan had about TJ.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so Yahoo Sports columnist Dan Wetzel, one of the best in the business, was at Super Bowl week last week, and he decided to spend his Thursday night at TJ's wrestling shindig, his bar brawl, and wrote a column on the whole event and quoted Mr. TJ McClune. It was quite the read. TJ's now, I'm sure his ego's even bigger than what it was before. But Dan and I think there was a couple other Yahoo people who went. They had a ball. They enjoyed it. So you can check that out. It's on my social and it's on TJ's social, I'm sure, as well. But yeah, TJ, our boy, TJ McMahon, he's famous now.
Yeah, TJ's blowing up. So I would hope that, let's say he gets snapped up by one of these companies out here, that I would at least get, like, the Rooney Rule interview for, like, a commentator spot. Like, you know they're not going to hire me, but at least I get, like, the courtesy dog and pony show.
Mm-hmm.
Before they end up giving the job to, Tony Schiavone or somebody like that. Like, at least we interviewed a person of color.
Yes.
All right.
You are now TJ's black friend.
Yes, I am TJ's black friend. I mean, he's got another one, but I think I would be the one that you would most likely want to introduce to people.
Okay. Oh, you know, okay.
Just say my suits are a little less flashy.
Let's
just put it that way. All right. So, shout out to our patrons. Of course, we got Amy Lamont, Faz Iqbal, Jermaine Southside Jones. I don't know if he's Southside or Northside.
Jermaine, by the way.
Southside sounds blacker, though.
He's going to Orlando this week.
Really?
Yes, he asked me for some Disney advice.
Okay, so Jermaine's going to Disney. So shout out to Jermaine Jones. John Pollock and Waiting from Post Wrestling. John Taylor, the Professor, Christopher. Shout out to KME for his birthday weekend. Peter Erickson, Rory Allenwick, Scott Criscolo from Place to Be Nation. Steve Willie, also from Place to Be Nation. He's been on the show before. And Todd Elliott. So shout out to all the patrons. If you are not a patron, you listen to this, and you want to see what's up, again, check out patreon.com/kingsofsport. You can find me on Twitter at N8MOZAIK, at Nate Mosaic. Follow the show, Cospod, KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. Facebook, facebook.com/kingsofsport. iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio Podcast. Wherever podcasts are found, that is where you will find us. And we will be back next week with another edition of the show where I'm sure we'll have a lot of NBA talk to get into and maybe some wrestling talk as we're getting closer to kicking off our Road to WrestleMania series.
Yeah, I mean, it's about that time.
I mean, wrestling is hot right now, you know, with the return of Jeff Jarrett wrestling his first match on Raw in 20 years.
Why is he still a thing?
Oh, Jeff Jarrett's still getting them checks. I'm not mad at him. But yeah, so we got that to look forward to. We've also got the sit-down with TJ. We're going to set up in the next couple of weeks to hear all of his stories from Atlanta and promoting the wrestling event during Super Bowl week. That'll be on the Patreon feed. You can also check out the newest edition of the Rocky Maivia Picture Show in 2 weeks. I don't know why I'm plugging it now.
Yeah, that's always a good thing. Let people know.
It is. I'm so used to recording these shows ahead of time. I'm getting used to plugging things, pre-plugging things. But yeah, that'll be out on the 16th of February. It'll be myself, Jay Hunter, and V1 from OSW Reviews talking about The Rundown. Have you ever seen that one?
Have not. No.
It's better than Scorpion King. That's my pull quote for the back of the box. Like, hey, it's better than Scorpion King.
But have I seen this? No, I've not seen this.
It's actually decent. It's got Christopher Walken, Rosario Dawson, like the little Pass the Torch cameo from Arnold Schwarzenegger, which is pretty cool.
Okay.
It's not a bad film.
Yeah, but it's Sean William Scott, so I may be out.
Yeah. Stifler's up in there. So. Yeah. And he is everything that you think he is. He is.
He's full Stifler?
He's full Stifler in this one.
Oh, man.
So you got that to look forward to coming up on the 16th of February. And like I said, next week we'll be back with an all-new edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport podcast. So unless you got anything else, Marcus, I will let you do what you do out there in L.A. You know, hopefully you're not burning your Rams jerseys and switching to a Chargers jersey this week.
I am not, no.
So, it'll be all right, Marcus. It'll be all right. Welcome to the club of people who have been beaten by the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Didn't feel great, but thank you.
So that's going to do it for this week. And we'll be back next week with an all-new edition of the Kings of Sport. For Marcus Vanderberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton. I was going to go with Maroon 5, but I can't think of any Maroon 5 off the top of my head. I'll go with Michael Jackson in honor of the current governor.
Not the current documentary that's about to come out, right?
Oh, man. I don't know how to feel about that, Marcus. I don't know how to feel about the documentary. So we'll see. We'll see when it comes out.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. Like, I don't. Michael, R. Kelly, Bill Cosby. Maybe 1984 was a different time.
Maybe it was.
But yeah. Too high to get over. Too low to get under. You're stuck in the middle. Because you want to be starting something. And you've been down with the king. What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here? Yeah.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, thanks, thanks.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna leave it all on the mat, 'cause that's what I do when I get it done, so I can do it. Yeah!